Welcome to the Volleyball Life Podcast. I'm Chris McGown for Gold Medal Squared, and we're talking today with Dean Barbosa. Dean is the director of Tribe Volleyball. They're a volleyball club out of South Florida, and they've been at it for a while. We've had a great relationship with Dean and his group for probably a decade now, almost. And they're doing some great things. And we talked to Dean today about the importance of culture and about making that the primary driver in the organization and the difficulties and challenges associated with that. We talked to him about club tryouts, how they run tryouts, and then how they're handling some of the parent communications, just kind of the big issues with club volleyball. Dean has some great perspectives and is doing a wonderful job with his group down there. So thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the show. Well, welcome to the Volleyball Life Podcast. We're talking today with Dean Barbosa. Dean is a club director of Tribe Volleyball out of Pompano Beach, Florida. And he's a longtime friend of Gold Medal Squared. We met Dean, how long ago, Dean? I want to say a dozen years ago, maybe more. And it's been a while, huh?
Yeah, that's about right.
And
2008.
Time has flown for sure. The club down there has grown significantly in the years that Dean's been involved, and so he's got some great insights, and we're stoked to talk to Dean today. So thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, my pleasure, Chris. Love Gold Squared, and when we got started in the past, prior to kind of us creating Tribe, you know, which is not a group of Indians, but a group of people with like minds, right, that speak the same language and have common goals. And a big part of that was kind of integrating, you know, GMS philosophy and just, you know, your whole view on how volleyball should be done. And it made a ton of sense to us. And so we kind of have a system that we run our entire club with. And that was a big change from every other club in South Florida, which was just each coach kind of doing his own thing. Like, everybody had their own little fiefdoms that they protected, and coaches couldn't help each other because they spoke different languages. And it just made sense to do it this way. And it was really kind of a differentiator from us and other clubs here locally.
Yeah. Well, we've enjoyed for sure the relationship that we've had with you guys. And I think one of the things that I've found, I don't know, most, enjoyable about working with you and working with the group is just the kind of a people that your club attracts and the kind of coaches that you guys are able to pull in.
Yeah. I think in addition to, because of the philosophy that we started with, which was kind of everybody on the same page, you know, it's every kid gets to be impacted by every coach. Oftentimes it's just one coach in one club. Or, what, you know, if I have a good coach, I'm fine. Really, the whole weight of the club has been able to impact each kid as they come through. And we've had a lot of coaches kind of come and look for jobs here at Tribe. But, you know, they kind of had to be our kind of guy or our kind of girl, which really, I mean, it sounds weird, you know, because sometimes people come in with these brilliant resumes. And I'm sure they're great coaches in their own right. But for our club and for our culture, they had to be people that were frankly kind of willing to come in and almost intern for a year, no matter if they'd coached in college or whatever their background was, just so they could understand that, you know, the vibe here and what we do is a little bit different, to understand the GMS language and to understand that we're trying to catch them doing it right, you know, that we're that we're doing things differently, frankly. And that was the challenge early on. Like, there wasn't a lot of growth early on because we just couldn't bring anybody in to add to our coaching staff. So the first few years we turned away a ton of kids and a ton of families because we just didn't have the coaches to give them a quality experience. And we felt it was really important to maintain our identity and our culture through our coaching staff. So we've had GMS come in and do stuff for us. We've sent people out to the coaches' clinics, which are unbelievable. And, you know, frankly, one of the big parts is, you know, the fact that guys like, you know, Chris and, you know, Mike Wall and Jason Watson and all these coaches and people that are involved in what you do are so willing to take calls if we have questions. The website's incredible, but everyone's been so helpful. It's really kind of helped us cultivate a coaching staff that is, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, but my opinion, second to none in the state. We just have a ton of unbelievable coaching. It's because of us kind of taking our time and bringing in the right people, and then also having kind of a support system of coaching giants that are willing to kind of pour into folks like us. So that's kind of what's helped us be different and you know, why we have great people working. It's been intentional.
So let me get back to a couple of things with you. You guys have grown. Where'd you start and where are you now over the years?
Oh, yeah. We started with 11 teams in our first club season, which was really...
That's still quite really a few.
Yeah, that's a good way to start. Yeah, my wife and I coached club off and on back then, but I was also involved in an IT staffing company and had several businesses before that. And being involved in the coaching world at that time, we just was like, you know, it's there's something missing as far as vision. What's the process? What are our goals? Are there core values for this club? What are we trying to do? And so it just felt kind of like it was just a, you know, kind of a flea market for just a bunch of random things thrown together. And so when we started with a club called Club Florida, and we transitioned and kind of actually bought them out. Like, so we took over an existing club and told them, you know, say, this is how we're going to do it, right? With the tribe methodology, GMS, and we just took the people that really wanted to be involved. So instead of starting with one or two young folks, we kind of started with 10 teams, which was obviously a great way to start it, start a club. So we went from 10 back in 2009, 2010, and now we're... I think we're at 38 teams with 3 locations this year.
So we talk about it, you know, hey, going from 10 to 40, it isn't almost a linear progression of complexity. The amount of the volume of administration and of issues and all that stuff almost grows exponentially with an increase like that. And so one of the things we like to talk to directors like yourself about is just, you know, what do you consider maybe, you know, the biggest challenges that you face as a club director? And then I guess I want to get into, you know, how are you addressing those challenges? But it sounds like from the onset, finding quality staff has been for sure maybe a limiting factor and maybe a big challenge. What else?
Yeah. You know, communication is always a challenge with your staff, with the parents. You know, when you've got that many people involved in a program, you've just got to be better at regular communication. And we have coaches that live an hour north and an hour south. So internal communication, external communication, those things are challenges. I think we've got a pretty effective website that manages that pretty well. But still, things fall through the cracks, and we're always looking to get better, right? We're always looking to improve. We think it's important, and we'll have several coaches meetings. And most of what we talk about in the coaches meeting is, obviously, aside from the volleyball stuff, is, you know, how do we communicate? It's not just information coming down the chain. It's, you know, what do you need from me, right? What do you need from your administration? What do you need from your director? What do you need from the scheduling staff to get you where you need to be, right? We're not trying to keep you from doing your job. So we have weekly calls, and this is something that we've started instituting. So on a Sunday before the practice week, we'll get on a brief little conference call. And, you know, if there's 4 teams on 3 courts and coaches have to work together, there'll be a little brief plan, and we'll talk about what we're going to do. And it's just, frankly, it's been intentional increased communication about what's going on.
So when you say we get on a call, how many coaches are on that call at a time typically?
Yeah, well, so Sebastian Pedraza is one of our technical directors and great guy. And so him and I will get on the phone on Sunday, and we'll have 6 separate calls set up.
Oh, boy.
And so it's
okay.
an average of four, yeah, it's an average of four coaches for 10 minutes at a time. And we just, we get on the phone with the practice plan and we kind of give them a little template. We don't run their whole 2 hours, but we'll kind of give them some options of what we want to do at what time of year, depending on if, you know, we're back to wrists and hands at the beginning of the year or we're doing some other stuff later. But we'll get on the phone and briefly communicate about the practice plan and what everybody's roles are going to be. And then, you know, that really, as we go, it only takes a few minutes. And then we'll ask for some feedback. What do you need? You know, what do we need to get better at? Is there something that we're not doing for you? And that's really been a lifesaver for us, because the bigger you get, the more disconnected you feel at some point. Because early on when we were at 10, 15, 20 teams in one location, it's just easier to manage those relationships and feel more connected. And the more people you get, the more disconnected you are. And having these calls has kind of brought us back together a little bit, and everyone feels like they're being attended to. So one of the challenges is, again, communication with your coaches, making sure that they're on the same page and feeling like they're being supported.
And when they talk to you about, hey, these are the things that I need to be good, what do you think are the most common themes typically? What do they tell you they need?
You know, frankly, the group of people that we have, they're looking for feedback. We tell them it's important that, you know, you guys are always trying to get better. So the people that we plug in, they're looking for from us, making sure that they've got either a court coach or an assistant coach there. Sometimes they're looking for, you know, if there's a kid that's behind in a skill, they'll ask for, hey, a third coach or somebody that's really good in our gym at teaching transition footwork for middles. Maybe this kid's a former libero and she's not real comfortable with their middles, and they'll ask for another coach to come in and kind of help that kid for that practice, or at least the next couple practices. So there's really a lot of give and take with helping their kids and teams grow. And that's kind of what they're asking for help. And frankly, beyond that, it's if it's not technical stuff on their team, it's really help with parents. It's this kid's parent is driving me crazy. And, you know, I need you guys to be there to talk to them, you know, and that's a big, you know, everybody who's involved in youth sports knows that that's a big problem. So those two areas, technical help, and then, you know, are we managing situations?
So that brings me to maybe that issue. That also seems to be a common theme with a lot of, you know, club directors and coaches that I talk to, is just the parent relationship side of things. And and it you know, can be problematic. It certainly is a challenge, just because, you know, you're dealing with personalities, you're dealing with people who you know, as much as they would like to be impartial, you know, I you know, as the parent of two daughters, I realize that I view my children not with absolute impartiality. You know, I got a vested interest in making sure they're happy and progressing and doing well. And my interest may not always be the community interest, you know? And so what do you guys, I mean, is that consistent with what your experience? Is that another one of the kind of big challenges that you have?
Frankly, I think it's the biggest challenge that we face regularly, is just because it's not, you know, club is not high school or college, right? These are customers, right? And they need to, you know, the customer's always right. In other worlds, you know, we're trying to maintain some athletic integrity by making it a meritocracy. At the same time, you are dealing with people that are paying for a service, right? So they feel that they have a voice and they should be able to have some input on how things go. And it is a tricky dance that we have to do there. And, you know, I would say that is the biggest challenge, right? They view it oftentimes as an individual sport. Like, I'm paying, my kid should be, and all they have is eyes for their kid. And, you know, well, it's not fair. You know, she doesn't ever get a chance. And like, you hear all these words, you've crushed her spirit because you didn't play her. And it just becomes really manipulative and tough. It is the biggest challenge. And
So do you guys have anything, sorry to interrupt, do you guys have anything formal in place? So who handles, you know, is the actual team coach kind of the first line of defense, and then does it get kicked up? And do you guys have, you know, conflict resolution policies in place, or is this, you know, just,
yeah.
do you guys go to that level of formality with things, or have you tried to front load as much of the expectation as you can, you know, in parent meetings early on? Hey, this is the way things are going to operate, and if you have issues, here's how we deal with them. Do you do that kind of stuff? What do you do to kind of alleviate some of the issues, or at least, you know, handle this enormously complex dynamic?
Yes, the answer is yes to all that. We have a mandatory parent meeting at the beginning of the year, and we have some great people present, talk about grievance process, you know, how we handle that. First step is X. We schedule in two parent meetings, one a month into the season. After our initial parent meeting is pretty comprehensive. We talk about roles. We borrow from Positive Coaching Alliance a lot. We like a lot of their stuff. They've put some cool videos out regarding what parents' roles are in athletics, you know, how the ride home is often, you know, the ride home from an event where parents are kind of acting as a second coach and critic of their children are that's usually the biggest factor in kids leaving youth sports. We talk about a lot of stuff up front. We try to keep it light and funny at the same time. You know, listen, here's what could happen if you're warned by administration about your behavior, right? And that's volleyball, such an intimate setting. So, anybody who makes a big gesture in a game is seen and felt by everyone. So, we ask them to mind their body language, their facial. We ask them to kind of control that as best we can. So we have a big parent meeting up front. Then we absolutely do have a grievance process that the parents all agree to. And then, you know, we have protocol for handling that stuff. And then in addition, we schedule our team's practices, there are two times where we have a coach player parent meeting. And one of the administration is sitting in on that meeting. And it's that time where parents and coaches can kind of talk about where the kid is, what her role is, what she needs to do to get better, where we are. They can kind of voice their concerns, and we can either address them or come to agree that we're not going to come to an agreement. And then we'll ask them, you know, to go somewhere else. So yeah, we've got all of the things that you mentioned that we do. We absolutely do. And it's still not perfect, right? I mean, it's just, it feels weird, you know, talk radio society where everyone's complaining about the coaching all the time, or people just feel like it's okay for some reason to complain about other people's kids. And, you know, that kid wasn't passing and the setter was terrible and the outside hitter couldn't score. And, you know, it's just kind of that dialogue. And we really fight against, and we ask parents to actually be proactively involved in the culture of their team by, you know, communicating in a way that says, hey, listen, let's stay positive about the team. If a parent in their team group is talking bad about somebody, we actually try to give permission in a sense by our meetings, by saying, hey, listen, here's what's appropriate when this happens. If somebody's being negative about a kid or a coach, what should happen next is the parent or player that's in the area should say, hey, let's stay positive about the team. You know, we're trying to maintain a positive culture, and it is a challenge, but we put all that stuff in place. And you know, ultimately if parents don't make changes, man, sometimes we ask them to go somewhere else. Like, even if they're a really good player, it's just about the vibe and the environment and the culture. And we think the culture is really important. So, you know, we give them a couple chances, but yeah, man, we're not afraid to ask people to go if they have to go, because we think it's that important.
Sure. Yeah. And sometimes it's not a good fit. And, you know, you desperately wish that everybody could have a big picture about this, you know, and just, hey, look, here's what you really ultimately want. And all of this destructive stuff that's going on doesn't get you what you really ultimately want. And getting them to that point, that can be tough. Yeah.
It is the worst. It frankly is. I mean, that's, you know, that is the big challenge with club sports, especially volleyball down in South Florida. It's just, you know, the parent challenge of we want this. I mean, and, you know, frankly, we've had some really, really good kids leave, really, really good, unbelievably physically gifted kids leave because their parents just weren't a fit for the program. And, you know, last year was a good example, man. We had three or four really good kids and even a coach leave, and we ended up having our most, you know, positive season ever with a team at every age group qualifying for the junior national championships, and but with a less talented group, right? But the culture took a big step forward, and the environment was better, and kids were more positive. People had a better experience, you know, because somebody that's chirping negative all the time, it just becomes toxic, right? You know, in any environment, you know, positivity matters. You know, it's part of what we do all the time, man. We read, our coaching staff, or at least our core group, reads books through the summer, right? A reading list. And one of them is How Full Is Your Bucket, which is a really good read, by the way. But, you know, we try to keep our interactions 3-1, positive to negative with kids. And as a coach, that's tough, right? Because we're giving feedback all the time. But if not impossible, but we try to be intentional about our interactions with people, each other, and the kids. And I think it matters.
So I don't know that I can overstate the magic of what you just described, but the discipline that it takes to actually tell people you might be the best athlete on the court, but you're not a cultural fit. We hope that you find success somewhere else. That level of discipline is unbelievably difficult to get to because, you know, there's so much pressure on winning and on that as the definition of success. And, you know, I find, and even as a coach myself, I was willing to put up with a lot of what I thought was behavior that I, you know, despised in my culture, but I was willing to deal with it because of, you know, the production that this athlete would give us in terms of wins and losses. And for you guys to be able to have the kind of long view on things of culture matters most and everything else is subordinate, being able to have that vision and then execute that is remarkable. And I have to imagine that it's taken some time to get there and you've made some missteps along the way, but for organizations to be able to do that and see that and believe in this larger thing and then make those hard decisions at the time based on those beliefs it's pretty magical.
Oh, dude, it is so hard. It's so hard. I'm like, oh, crap, man, she sides out at us. But you just, it's not worth it in the long term, right? And because as a club, right, we win a lot, like, but that is not the goal, right? So, and your vision and your culture and what your long-term goals are as a club or a person dictate what you do day to day, right? And the decisions that you make. And it's not that it becomes easy, but you've decided what's important. Right. So, you know, we come into the gym and we get better every day. And if we win, we win, you know, and that's the bottom line. So we're going to play our first teams in open. We're going to play some of our second teams at the open level. And we're not going to win all the time, but we're going to be pressed. We're going to be challenged. We're going to play great opponents that are going to help us get better, you know, and if we can keep that long view, like you talked about, man, it doesn't make decisions easier. Right. If a kid's crying or pouting or a little moody and she, you know, she's touching 11, you know, maybe she gets a little longer rope than the pouty kid that's not as athletic. And I'm not saying that we wouldn't kind of make those decisions from time to time, but ultimately, yeah, man, if the parent or the kid is toxic and they're not looking for the same thing, then they go. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been clear that it's the right thing to do. And we have a bunch of people on the same page as far as that goes. So it's worked out, but yeah, like you said, man, it is a challenge, but I know for sure that it's worth it in the long run, because then you can maintain your integrity when you talk about things that are important. Right. And it's important for everybody, not just kids that aren't super talented. In the long run, I think your word and being consistent and having some integrity matters. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, and, you know, I just love it's so easy to say that in the moment, right? And in the parent meetings to talk about that. Hey, look, this is the culture. And if your athlete isn't, you know, if you or your athlete isn't meeting these standards, we're going to ask you to find somewhere that might be a better fit. And, you know, and we talk about that. And then in the moment when this kid's scoring, you know, 20 points a match for you and to have to pull the trigger on that, it just, yeah, like you talk about, it's indescribably difficult. But I want to ask you, the book you referenced, How Full Is Your Bucket? The author, Tom Rath. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, we're recommending that to coaches. So as you're listening to this, How Full Is Your Bucket? The author is Tom Rath. You can find it on Amazon. It's $17 in hardcover right now.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, man, really good.
Okay. Well, and then, you know, the other thing that I wanted to, I guess, ask you about, and maybe tell me, you know, hey, this isn't a challenge, but we do it really well. But the other thing that club coaches talk about often is the tryout process and just how they run tryouts and how they make these choices. And it varies from region to region in terms of, you know, hey, here are the regulations around tryouts. But what are tryouts like for you guys? What do you do? What's the plan? How do you run those?
Oh, yeah, that is. We're looking for the answer on that still. I mean, I can tell you what we do, but we always, like, people that come from different places are like, well, how do you guys do it? How do you guys do it? Sometimes I think it varies by region, right? Because in South Florida, there are so many clubs so close together. They'll leave your tryout that Saturday at 10 and then go to two other tryouts that very same day.
Yeah, they're trying out for four teams in a day.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's tricky. What do you pull them in right then and there and say, hey, do you want to be a part of our club? And if you walk out and you don't get, like, it is tricky. I mean, what we do, frankly, and I think it depends on where clubs are, because at the beginning, when we first started, we didn't do it like this, but this is what we do now. Like, so for all our number one teams, 13 to 18, you'll find out that you've been offered a position before you walk out the door, and we'd like you to accept that day, like that very minute before you walk out. I mean, because if they don't want to be on a number one team at Tribe, then obviously we're not their number one choice, right? And we want people that want to be here.
Sure.
Right? So that's kind of how we do that. With second and third teams, we'll actually make physical phone calls to each of those kids. So we'll have, we actually don't have the coaches call. We have, for lack of a better term, we kind of have closers call. We have people that we know, kind of know the kids, understand our culture, because parents will ask, is my kid a starter? Is she going to play six rotations? Is she strictly going to play outside hitter? Especially in the older ages, they're going to try to negotiate that stuff before committing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just won't let anybody commit them anything. Like, it's got to be, you're going to be one of three or four outside hitters. We think you're one of the top two right now, but there is no playing time guaranteed. We'd love to have you. We're going to help you get better. You want to be part of the program. So we have people call and make offers, and then we give them, you know, maybe 24 hours to kind of make their decisions with the second and third teams. But as far as tryouts go, for 14 to 18 or 14 to 17, we do a 2-day tryout. We have a lot of kids in the gym, and we just want to see them do skills. We'll test their measurables. And then towards the back half of day one, we put them into 6-on-6, and all of the second day, we put them into 6-on-6 situations, so we can see them playing volleyball. We have the coaches for the teams evaluating their age groups, evaluating their age for their team, and then we have a couple of independent evaluators doing that as well. Then we'll kind of get in after the tryout, like on day one for those teams, and we'll kind of put a pre-draft list, or like a big board, you know, in the war room. We'll put a list up of kids, and we'll kind of put a top 11 or 12 on the board, and we'll discuss who fits where and why. Are they culture fits? Do they have a sister that wants to play at 13? Like, there's a lot of variables that kind of come into putting
sure,
teams
lots
together.
Of moving pieces here, yeah.
Yeah, so if there's three kids in a family, and this kid's equal to another kid, but So there's a lot of that goes on in communication, but lots of evaluation. We try to keep them in the gym as much as we can. We also offer some pre-tryout evaluations ahead of tryouts at no cost. So, you know, the more you see kids in the gym, the better, right? You know, we've missed kids in a 2-hour tryout really bad, like made terrible decisions because we just don't see them enough. And it's frankly tough to honestly do a great evaluation in just 2 hours, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we try to give them as many opportunities to get in the gym as possible. And, you know, so, I mean, that's kind of what we do. I mean, we've had everybody in the gym and we've kind of said, number one team, go to that corner. Number two team, go to that corner. Number three team, go over there. And I've never seen more girls crying in one place in my life. It's just when they look over and see those kids on that number one team and they're not on it, it just becomes a really emotional thing. And so, I mean, we've really messed up in the past. And I think the way we do it now is the best way for us because of our building and our space. So on the second day of evaluations, as they're playing 6-on-6 and we're kind of moving kids from the first, second, or third court, we're kind of moving them around. As they're playing, we'll have a coach pull out a kid that we want on the first team, have that kid go get their parents, and they'll walk into the coach's office and we'll talk to them about what we want, you know, that we'd like them to play while everybody's still playing, right? And it's not that people don't know what's going on, but it's not just out in front of everybody, in everybody's face.
Right.
So we kind of pull them out on day two once we know what we want on our first team. And if we get through the first team, we'll start doing it with the second team as well. But that's really the best way for us to do it. And we found that to be successful. I don't know if that's right. Other people in other places do it differently and they're pretty successful at it, but that's kind of what we do.
Well, yeah, that's that's a tall order right there. So anything else you think about, like, hey, you know, as I consider just the challenges of running this organization and of you know, trying to put together good experiences for the kids and put together, you know, the best volleyball teams that I can put together. Anything else come to mind that you feel like, you know, this was really hard for us, or this is where I spend most of my time?
Yeah, the recruiting side, because we're trying to give parents a return on investment, right? So that's a whole nother another area that, you know, would be important to, you know, for us. It was a learning process to educate and dedicate people to that side of things.
And when you say recruiting, that means we're trying to push athletes into collegiate programs from Tribe. So
correct.
College coaches are recruiting the kids that are playing for our club. Yeah.
Yeah. The challenge is, you know, at some point along the line, they're going to look at kids maybe that are on the club's second team or non-starters on their first team that are getting college scholarships. And it's because, you know, they're following your instructions, right? You need to be proactive. You need to know kind of where you might fit. And we put a lot of time, effort, and energy into educating players and parents on, you know, kind of what they need to do. And then holding those people, you know, not holding them accountable, but encouraging them along the way because it's for their benefit. You can show them what to do, but continued follow-up and having them do that. In the past, like when we first started, we just kind of sent out some letters, a template email, made some recommendations. And then since then, we've kind of purchased an online system for our elite teams as part of their tuition. And we kind of hold them accountable for it to populate the pages, to reach out to the 50 schools that we make there, you know, and we say, hey, listen, it's mandatory that you reach out to these schools. So it's been a challenge, but for us, it's been a priority. Like maybe other clubs, that's not a big deal, but for us, that's something that's been a learning process on what works best. And then, you know, recently we've actually been spending a lot of time sending our coaches to conference tournaments and we'll send out emails ahead of time to whoever in the, like the Ohio Valley Conference. Last year we went to the Big South and the Southern Conference, and then the tournaments. And we send out emails to the coaches introducing ourselves, letting us know that we're going to be there, that we're excited about seeing the level of talent that's in their gym, so that when we recommend players to them, we at least have an idea of what's going on there, right? And it's been super well received. So now when they get an email from a Tribe kid, they know that we've kind of instructed kids that are in the ballpark athletically to reach out to them. And it just puts a gold star by those kids. But like I said, it's been a process. And honestly, a cultural thing where this is just something that's expected, because initially it wasn't that way. But now everyone's kind of talking about it, even as ninth graders, getting involved in the process right away.
Yeah.
Well, not that we like them involved at ninth grade, but that's just how the nature of the beast right now.
That's the reality. Yeah. You know, just, I think one of the things you mentioned, that I think was really important is that the coaches in your organization that are making recommendations to colleges, if that coach can trust that recommendation, that goes, that's enormous. You know, there were just so many times when I was recruiting, or, you know, and when I was coaching a college team where club coaches would say, hey, this kid is a great fit. You know, it's this, this, and this. And then you go watch him play and you're thinking, how in the world did you think that this athlete was going to be able to compete in our gym? It's just your idea of where we're at and where we're at are so far disconnected. And so, you know, for you guys to actually be able to say, you know what, this kid is going to be able to compete in your conference or at your level. And here are, you know, this kid's, you know, superlatives, and here where she's not so good, et cetera, to have that level of trust and to be able to, you know, accurately say, yeah, this is a kid that are, that's going to be able to succeed. And then have that be, you know, the reality. That's a huge, huge deal to have that trust and to have that understanding when you're communicating with the coaches in your program.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, relationships matter just like anything else, man. So, you know, we kind of go there and again, it's, we're trying to find good fits for our kids. Right. So we're not trying to sell somebody something that doesn't make sense. We don't want them to go there and then fail. Right.
Yeah.
We want them to go there and have a great experience. Right. So, you know, we've had some kids that could definitely play in bigger conferences, but maybe they've ended up in the Patriot League because they're a great academic kid, but maybe physically they're good enough to play in the, you know, ACC or SEC or even maybe bigger, but it just wasn't a fit for them. So for us, it's not necessarily about, you know, what cool college logo can we put on the front of our website. It's just about making sure the kids are having good experiences. And that comes with getting to know some of these coaches too, right? Because, you know, frankly, there's, you know, some kids are going to be able to handle an old school screamer, you know, where they're yelling yeah. and they're just not real positive.
Yeah.
And there are other kids that are never going to make it there. Right. They're never going to make it. So, you know, maybe, you know, we kind of objectively give them some advice on maybe what would work best. And, you know, like I said, it's just part of the process on trying to help kids get better and find a good spot.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I love having this conversation, and I couldn't be more happy for the success that you guys are having and the way you're doing it. It's, I don't know, I'm really, really stoked for you, and I'm stoked for the kids that are in your program, and looking forward to more great things from Tribe.
Well, thanks, Chris, man. I'll always enjoy talking to you guys. Have been a big part of our development, and, you know, I'm not just saying that. Like I said, I mean, you the stuff that you guys do with Gold Medal Squared really kind of ramps up our entire coaching staff, and it's really just a cool environment. So thanks for your contribution, and I've got a cool anyway, I'll tell you some other time.
All right, sounds good.
It's been great, and thanks again. Anytime.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you soon.
See you on the
show. Okay, bye. See ya.
If you want more podcasts, video, articles, and other volleyball instructional resources, you can find us at goldmedalsquared.com, on our YouTube channel, on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for the latest interviews, news, and other promotions. Thanks for listening, and we hope to meet you in person at one of our camps or clinics.